So I'm Andy Townsend. I've been here all the way through 2007.
Margarita Bernal. I'm also here since 2017.
Drew Ariotis. I've only been on the committee for a couple of years, so new person here.
Kayla Marshalls. I've been on it since 2017.
Nanette Pagel. I'm just the secretary.
Stuart Lorch. I've been on the committee for about 7 months.
Mike Silva from the police department. I guess I'm not technically on the committee itself, but here in an ex officio role. And still relatively new, at least compared to those of you who have been on since the inception. I've been around for probably about a year and a half, two years now.
My name is John Aiken. I'm in Ward 4. Not 2017. I think I came the year after that. I think it's 2018 for me. So
I just want to know for the record that we've gone through lots of TPD people, so we hope you can hang on. Everybody's retiring on us.
Noted.
Introductions and all kind of swinging around. I'm Terry Gilliland. For those that don't know me, I'm the project manager, program manager, administrative assistant, PR, PIO, whatever it is, Prop 101, Safer City, that's me. So if anything goes wrong, you only got one place to look. It's my fault. So I'm anxious to meet all of you and spend some time with you individually if we get time afterwards. Appreciate you being here. And can we get your introduction?
So I'm just an observer here. My name is Don Perkins, Senior Project Manager with Core Construction. So I'll be hopefully working with you in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Paul Moore, Deputy Chief Capital Projects, Tucson Fire. Been around since the inception, so 2017. And then filled Joe Galata's role in 2021. Yeah.
Thank you. Did he retire?
He did, yeah. He's working with Raytheon now, doing similar stuff, actually.
This is our third staff person that we've got there. Yeah.
So before we get to Mr. Ortega here, let's take a few minutes, if you haven't had the chance to review the minutes from our previous meeting, October of 22.
I have some extra copies if you're just dying to pour over them.
Test your memory what actually
happened. Yeah, from 2 years ago. Okay.
Normally I'd remember it, but...
Did you get the minutes?
I did.
You
actually,
did, okay.
We emailed it out, actually.
Yes?
Agenda. Thank you, Mr. Ortega, for joining us here tonight. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about think that the confidence that you give the voter and the community and what we are doing as a city is incredibly important, not only in terms of, you know, the widgets got built or got purchased, but fundamentally that we have done what we said we're going to do. And we can stand here as staff all the time and say, hey, we're going to do this, and we promise, and all these other things. But at the end of the day, the confidence you bestow on that statement is incredible. And I can't overstate it because it's just so important. And I've been able to use that not only in the community, by the way, but when people ask from Phoenix and from other communities how we've done what we've done, I've said it's because we have groups like this that help and that volunteer and give up their time, but also provide guidance. And we can bounce ideas around. We can bring to you a problem and say, hey, here's some things that we see. And I think it's important to recognize that. And so I'm really here to say thank you. I remember when, and you're right, I think we have been through three projects.
Yes. We chew them up.
When you've been here long enough, after a while you kind of see that. So I'm coming on my ninth year. So, but I will tell you that when we went to the voter and we had conversations about the whole discussion of how do we ask folks, we thought we had a snowball's chance. A lot of it really had to do with, you know, developing the story and developing the accountability that goes along with that. And because of our ability to identify folks like you, quite frankly, that are great stewards of public funds, but also, you know, we gave you a board, right, in the ballot language and the enabling legislation that we put forward. I think that has served us well. We use that as a model, and we'll continue to use it. And so, again, I just can't say thanks enough. However, we do have something for you that we'd like to. So, there's a certificate of appreciation and a shirt we'd like to. I'll just read. This one says Andrew Townsend, but his name will be on. But please, if you would, come on up. So I'll read it. It's a certificate of appreciation for the City of Tucson, Tucson delivers Sacred City. And the certificate is presented in appreciation for your dedicated participation in the City of Tucson's Public Safety Tax Oversight Commission. As a PESTOC member, you provided critical oversight of more than $150 million in public safety funding and improvement projects generated voter approved proposition. Tucson delivers Safer City. We commend your citizen leadership role on Public Safety Oversight Commission, guiding major investments in vehicles, facilities, technology, gear, improving the health and safety of our community, public safety professionals, and recognize and commend your service. Thank you, Mayor Romero.
Thank you, Mr. Judge. Thank you.
So we've got one for, we got the Bruno.
I think Mr. Ortega is leaving town and spending all the money left.
I'm sorry?
Leaving town and spending all the money left?
No, it's all spent. And by the way, I understand that Margarita was the one that suggested the shirts.
Yeah,
so
just a little momentum, unless
they throw tomatoes at us.
No, we're not going to let them do that.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm
starting
with
original 2017.
I'll walk over here for a moment.
Wait.
They're going to photo.
Oh, did you want to get a photo?
Of something other than your back.
Well, here, let me do this. Okay. Andrew? I know there was two Andrews.
Right.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Andrew.
Thank you, appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Should we do this?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we have to do this?
Oh, well, okay, that's even better, yes, thank you.
Yeah, we'll do a picture. Good idea.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's documented.
Oh.
No, it's okay.
Okay, Stuart, there we go. Stuart, thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We list this line, how's that?
You're posing. Okay.
I know.
I'm gonna go back to Clara.
I bring the best support staff I have when I'm here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, I need you, I didn't get Clara.
Okay.
That's where things went awry.
Photo bomber, we're sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
And we have?
She's not here, and two other members will coordinate with later.
One thing I'll tell you, yes, sir.
I do have a question, and new kid on the block, so I apologize if I'm asking a question out of order. I sit on a couple of committees in our Jefferson Park Neighborhood Association, and I mentioned this committee and the whole tax to several people in our association. And there are people that don't know, they're new to the area, that didn't know about the tax and don't know what this committee does. And I know that we're supposed to be oversight. Can we get the ward offices that send out newsletters all the time about all the things that are going on in the ward to send out information about what the tax that was collected and what it was spent on? Because the vast majority of the public doesn't remember the tax, which is kind of odd because I think we all remember taxes. Doesn't remember the tax, doesn't remember exactly what the tax was collected that was supposed to do or what's been done. And at some point in time, the city's gonna come back to us and ask for more money for other things, and it would be great if, as great stewards as we might be, if the ward offices, the city council would say, here's what we asked for, here's what we collected, here's what we spent.
Happy to do that. So I don't necessarily control the newsletters, but I can give them some information and
okay.
Send out, but I'll maybe add to that and suggest we'll do something citywide that will put out the word and maybe generate a story, if you will.
Okay.
I'll call it a report, but not a formal report, but more of a story about the importance and what it really has meant to the community.
You know, I agree with Stuart. You know, I'm also new here as well, and I sit on another board, a bicycling board, and really nobody even knows what this board does, nor are they aware of all the initiatives that have been done with this money. And I think it's super important that story gets told when you see the new fire trucks, the new fire stations, the new police cars, the police training center. I think there needs to be even more than just a ward story. I think a news station should pick this up and help advertise all the things that have happened with the 2 cent tax that came in.
So I'll speak to just a little bit of this, having been here for quite some time, and Marty, I'm sure, can add in. What you're saying, I completely understand. Through the years, there has been conversations in these settings about exactly what you're saying. With specific efforts, whether it be through websites, whether it be through celebrations at fire stations, whether it be through editorials that were written. And so we did make a real concerted effort through those years, exactly what you're saying, because we wholeheartedly saw the value in that moving forward towards needs in the future that the city, may go back to the voters for. That was a conversation frequently. What I will say that I think is really important and valued with what you're sharing is the fact that when COVID happened, we had some kind of odd times where we were online, and then we kind of came back a little bit of a hodgepodge after that. So I think revisiting the marketing piece, is super important.
Absolutely.
And this timing couldn't be better because probably within the next week we'll be issuing that Tucson Delivers quarterly newsletter. And we normally send you guys a link, and it does cover all of the sales tax and propositions, be it public safety, be it parks, connections, and roads. So when that comes out, I will make sure you guys get it, and you can get the link, and those also do go to the ward offices and NewsNet. So if we need to get older ones for you guys for some background information, we have those available. But that hits about 25,000 people within the community.
And how long is that, sorry, how long is that report normally?
It's fairly lengthy because we want to give each one of the propositions and sales tax.
I think that therein lies the glitch, so to speak, because the average person getting home from work, whatever, isn't going to open up a 25 or 30 page report or take the effort. So I think we need to maybe go back to the city and condense it. A boilerplate, here's an Excel spreadsheet. Here's what we collected, here's what we spent it on, and if you want more details, here's links to get more details. But the shorter the better, the more brief the better, but it's got to be impactful.
And Stuart, you know, you're speaking to something I agree with in terms of kind of the warm and fuzzy. You know, people will read things that are kind of fun and interesting and easy to grab. So I think that's another point well received. If there's any final expenditures that, you know, could potentially be newsworthy, we did get a lot of really good mileage out of some of the new stations coming to some of the openings, the remodels or the completely new builds or the new, you know, equipment that did happen over the years, and I think it is exactly what you're talking about, where people actually are interested to see it, rather than some really wordy minutia, you know, is not interesting to people.
And if we as stewards need to be part of that process, then I'm not gonna speak for everybody else, but then that might be something we might want to do. Is okay, here's the length of the report, here's the boilerplate. What we'd like you to do is send it out to your neighborhood association, send it to your ward office, yeah. Make sure they're publicizing it, or, you know, promote it yourself.
Right. I appreciate that.
One thing I'd suggest as you're thinking about that, and I'll certainly be my part, we'll talk through how we can get the word out. One of the things that made, in my opinion, Prop 101 successful when we were having conversations like this was scalability. If you remember when we were first talking about it, it was what happens if revenues come in greater or what happens if revenues come in less. And I know you're going to have a conversation here in a bit about how revenues have come in greater, but there's also increased costs. The scalability of that is extremely important, and I don't think that we can capture that, you know, by all the detailed minutiae. I think there has to be kind of this high level thought and message about, hey, this is what happened. You know, 20 came in, all the projects that we promised to go, what was actually delivered. I think there's a story there, a message. The reason I mention that is because that's the conversation we're having at the RTA. It's the scalability or lack of, in terms of the way that program is built. And I'm using this as an example, saying, look, if you build it in a scalable fashion, we're able to scale it up and down based on whatever happens in the economy. So I just throw it out to you, I think it makes sense. You know, we'll do our part.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. You know, again, thank you for what you all do. It's really very fun.
Happy retirement.
We'll see.
Believe it or not, no one hasn't said retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So next up, we have our financial update.
So all y'all know, you don't have to feel bad. I'm the one that chased off the program manager. So I've been here over 5 years, and I've already chased two of them away. I've chased off the chief of police, the chief of fire. It's me, so don't feel bad.
Just get some work.
I will tell you right now, this is not going to get deep into the minutia. I can provide that kind of information for you. But my intent of this meeting, because it's been so long since we've all met, I want to basically give you a high-level overview of where we're at, what's happened the last year and a half, the reasons we have been meeting, and what our projections look like going forward, and how we're going to successfully complete the rest of this program. So, first, I'm going to start with the overall facilities schedule. These are each of the projects that are actual facilities, be it a renovation project or a brand new construction project. And I'm getting so old that even with my glasses, I can't read all this. The first several projects you see there that are highlighted in gray, those have already been completed. And then the ones down below that are projects that are in various stages of either design, development, permit applications, procuring contractors. What are you looking for?
I'm just going to see if it gets bigger.
Oh, I don't want to screw it.
I can close. Sorry, got it?
Nope, yeah. That's fine.
Thank you.
Much,
yeah.
Thank you.
I can see it.
Even with my glasses, I can't. That's what's sad.
Is that better?
I need a new prescription.
Thank you.
Just to briefly go over each of these, just so you're familiar with what the projects are that still remain to be completed. Fire Station 14, we just recently awarded a contract for that, and we had a kickoff meeting earlier this week with the contractor. So they're looking to break ground the first week in May. And I'm still waiting to hear back from the ward office to see if they want to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony where we can get the community local there in Ward 5 involved in that. So we'll keep you posted on that. But it is ready to go. It's already been awarded. We're moving. The next group of projects there are the four remaining renovation projects for the fire stations. That's 5, 12, 13, and 17. And those have been fully designed. We have permits ready for all of them. We have a CMAR contractor that's on board, and we finally negotiated costs with him, and we haven't awarded it and gotten started yet. And I will hit more on the reason we haven't done that later. One of the next phases here. The TPD Eastside Annex has been fully designed. The permit application is in. It's been reviewed over the last 2 weeks, so we have two more weeks to wait for comments, and we'll be able to respond to those comments, and hopefully they're insignificant, and we'll be able to very quickly turn that around so it's ready to issue a formal building permit. We're also using a CMAR contractor for that particular project. They're not under contract, but they're ready to go. So as quickly as we know we can get a permit, we'll get final pricing negotiated with the contractor, we'll award the contract and get rolling. And by the way, all four of those projects are going to happen simultaneously. So we've talked in the past about staggering some of that, but we're just going to shotgun blast and get all of them going. So there'll be lots happening all at one time. The next project is the fire range. We have, that has been designed, permit's been issued, the project was put out for open competition, and the bids came in. And it looks like we're actually under budget on this one, so that's an encouraging sign. But we'll wait on procurement to go through their process right now. They have to verify numbers, small business plans, and that kind of thing. So
I just wanted to say for the new members, we went through a lot of this. And in the middle of the pandemic, the costs were skyrocketing, so everything had to stop. So we were stop, start. So it's good to hear that things are coming down.
Yeah, if we get y'all's approval at the end of this meeting, we'll really be doing some things. So, again, more to come on that. So. But that project is ready to be awarded and start putting plans together to break ground and get construction going on that. And that project actually is two individual projects that are being completed out at our training academy. We've got one of them is an outdoor 300-yard firing range so that they can use all of the long guns. And everybody have the long guns now, or you're still in the process of?
We've had a rifle program for some time, but this is going to allow specifically our snipers to be able to train in our own facility. So,
gotcha.
Big deal.
Yeah, in the construction, we've got a tower that we're building, and we put in multiple styles of roofing to kind of match what the different roof types are here in the greater Tucson area so that they have different real-world scenarios to practice their shooting from. So looking forward to that part.
To follow up on Stuart's comment, I know you're busy, but is there any problem with generating a new story as they start construction? Is that disclosing too much to the shooters, the bad guys, but to show the public that the money's still being spent on public safety issues. So you can generate some stories that way.
Yeah, I think there's always ways we can do that. It's a good opportunity, and especially if we have both projects, multiple projects going, I think it'd be cool to show a story where, you know, a little bit of a fire station that it's worked, a little bit of the East Side Annex, maybe, and a little bit out at the Academy. I think that'd be cool.
Yep. And then, so that's the outdoor sniper range part of it. We're also building a new physical building that will be almost an add-on to the existing administration building, and it's for using their virtual fire training. I don't know, Chief, you want to, you guys agreed on the system with the goggles, haven't you?
We've moved fully into, it's actually part of our Axon suite of services, the same company that produces our body-worn cameras and the tasers that everybody's familiar with. They also now have a virtual reality platform that allows our officers to actually, in the virtual environment, use not just those less lethal platforms, but also, and this is in the beta testing right now, they'll also be able to go from lethal, from using a firearm in the virtual world, to a less lethal and back again, depending on the scenario that they're presented. So it's pretty cool, pretty exciting stuff, and we can do it at significantly less cost because we're not using live rounds.
So that's what the two parts of that particular project are involved in. The next project is the Southside Public Safety Complex. That's very exciting. It's our largest project. This is the one where we're combining a new Fire Station 10 along with a new Santa Cruz Police Substation. It'll all be one big commingled facility, and then it's also going to have some components for the public. We've got a meeting area that will accommodate at least 50 people in case somebody wants to have a community meeting. And, you know, the terms of use will be worked out later on, but the facility will be there for that purpose. And then we're also constructing a basketball court that will be open for the community to use at their convenience. So this is a big project. It's been a long time coming. I will tell you that this is one of those that, and to get Margarita, hit the nail on the head. We got slammed by COVID. And part of the projects that we had going were over budget to begin with, but these went so far that we got real nervous, and we started thinking, what in the world are we going to do when we have to go back to the community and say, we can't build five of these facilities because we don't have enough money? And so we kind of hit the brakes a little bit, slowed ourselves. We got to a point, we're working with a CMAR contractor on that, and so they're working hand in hand with us as we develop the design to help prove constructability, to make sure that we're within our budget constraints. And after we got our first round of pricing, they were $56 million. And I about had a heart attack. I think our budget originally was about $32 million for the whole thing. But fortunately, over the last year and a half that we've been working with them and our design partners, we've got it down. It's only $43 million now, which doesn't seem like a lot, but you know, $13 million is a lot of dollars. I mean, that's a whole other fire station or a whole other, you know, East Side Annex. So it worked our advantage, and prices have somewhat stabilized in a lot of the areas. We still have some issues with production and transportation, getting things, but I'd rather be dealing with the delay on receiving the air conditioning unit than not being able to afford an air conditioning unit.
Can you describe if it's comparable to something like the Miracle Mile TPD substation, or is it larger than that?
It will be larger. Because there's so many components out there, and you got crime lab and all that stuff, it seems larger. But this is about a 56,000 square foot facility. So it's pretty good size, and gonna be a 6-bay fire station on one end, and then community center kind of in the middle of it, and then it turns into the police wing. And they've got lots of different things going on in that particular.
And there'll be workout for Tucson Fire.
Pardon?
There'll be workout areas.
There is a very good sized gymnasium that we're putting in, a fitness center, if you will. So it will be accessible.
You just tapped into something that's very important. We figured out that if we partner with fire, that we get a really nice gym in the process. So it's a good deal for us.
It's a shared gym. Yeah. They've got their tactical area where they can do all their tactical stuff and then the weight stuff. We're going to be sharing a facility. It's going to be great.
Well, more importantly than that, they've got a really nice kitchen. And if Chief Trace is captain there at the station properly, they will be able to eat there.
And all the cancer causing issues have been
dealt with?
Yeah, so all of our stations now feature this zoning concept, so it's all about this whole proposition was predicated on health and safety upgrades for fire, from our remodels to our rebuilds. And again, you've seen stations 8 and 9. 10's going to have the same concept, actually the same builder. Yeah, so all those health and safety upgrades are integrated in this station.
So at any rate, this project is ready to go. Again, pending what y'all give me the green light at the end of this discussion here, but we're ready to go. The contractor's hitching. They've got representatives here tonight, actually, to see what we're doing so that they can go back and tell people, yes, Terry really is trying to get this done for us so they can get their people to work, because they're itching and raring to go. So, the project directly beneath that is the evidentiary vehicle storage facility. If people call it the impound lot, it's not. It's actually evidence vehicles, you know, from various situations that we're mandated to keep track of for however many, for life, I guess, you know.
In some cases.
Depending upon, okay, you know, how good an attorney is, I guess. But at any rate, it's a facility that used to be sitting next to the Santa Cruz substation, if you've ever driven by there and seen where all those junked out vehicles were sitting back there. And every now and then you might see a Ferrari or a motorhome or a boat, depending upon what crime had just happened recently. So anyway, they didn't have enough room for what they were doing. This also happens to be the location where we're going to build the new Southside Public Safety Complex. So we had to relocate that. So that project has been completed. They actually just got word yesterday that they have relocated all the vehicles into the new facility, and that's also out at the Training Academy. You barely can see it. If you drive down Wilmot and look very quickly, you can see the building just because it's so tall, but you can't see the vehicles or anything else. So it was, you know, selectively set far back on our parcel of property so that it wasn't an eyesore. So that is complete. And then the final project there for facilities is Fire Station 3. That project has been fully designed. It has gone through, or nearly gone through, its first round of review for the permit. And we actually have about, I can't remember, it's 13 or 15 different items that there's no way we can meet zoning regulations, our own zoning regulations. You know, it's crazy that to John Q. Public, you would look at this and say, well, this is ridiculous. Why does a fire station have to meet the same requirements as a single family house? But we embed these things inside neighborhoods, so we have to follow the same standards that a homeowner has. But their garage door is only 7 foot tall. Mine's 15 foot tall. So my building's bigger, so my building's too high. It takes up so much space with concrete for vehicles moving around. I have too much lot coverage. I'm too close to the edge of the property. You know, there's just a host of things that we just simply cannot meet. So we're seeking the help of our city manager's office. They do have the authority to provide a waiver. So we're going through that process, working with planning and development to identify exactly which items need a waiver. We'll work with them so that when the message comes down from the city manager signing this waiver, they'll already be prepared for what it is, and we'll all be in agreement. So that's in the works right now. If you drive down Broadway, you'll see what's going to be our temporary Fire Station 3. Some may think it's an eyesore. We took advantage of the fact that the governor that we have right now decided that the old governor's rail car or the storage boxes down the border was a bad idea, so they got rid of all of them. Sold them all. Fire sale. So we jumped right in. We bought a bunch of them. So we're able to use those set them up and stack them so that we can provide somewhat shading and protection for the apparatus that are going to be parked there. So that will be temporary Fire Station 3. So did you get the signs up on the fencing, Chief?
I did not.
Very soon you'll see we have the area is fenced off. It's on Broadway between Park and Fremont. So if you get a chance, you take a look as you're driving by. It's fenced, and we've got windscreen to make it somewhat presentable. But we've got some really nice signs that show pictures of what the new facility is going to look like. So it'll be good for that, you know, community involvement that you're talking about, where they can see what the new station is going to look like. So.
Well, I hate to make government efficient, but the fact that you jumped on those containers is a great idea.
We were fortunate.
Generate a great story again.
Yeah. And even better, you know, we have a lot of intergovernmental agreements with different places. We actually were able to use that for part of this, and also with the modular unit. So we brought in basically a mobile home. that these firefighters are going to live out of. So that we were able to do that as well. So it speaks well that, that, you know, government agencies actually can work together and benefit, because we didn't have to go out and solicit a whole new contract. We were able to just piggyback off the one that was already existing from one of our governmental partners. So
for Stuart purposes, can you get an executive summary that's no more than 5 pages maybe of the accomplishments, or is that too much? Not now, I'm just suggesting it.
I'll write it down, Margaret.
Because we're gonna miss Kasachik, who would have that kind of information in his newsletters. And if you presented to the mayor and council in those kind of terms, just a 5-page summary of what this committee's done with the logo.
And we all live in wards. I mean, I shouldn't say we all. Some of us live in wards. And if we get that information, if I get that information, I'm going to send it to my ward office. I'm going to say, why aren't you publicizing this? And we can all do this to our city council, whatever it is. Why aren't we publicizing? Why aren't we telling the public how we're spending their money?
So if I could just jump in. I didn't mention one of the hats I'm wearing right now is interim PIO. So we've got tons of content, but I hear your point. We've just got to get it out there. I'm about to publish our annual report, whole section on the projects we're doing. If you're on socials, follow Tucson Fire on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're constantly putting out content here, but I think you're right. Maybe there's a little disconnect there with some of the ward offices. So I can work with Terry on the fire side and my partner here on PD and get you some great content.
And I'll get on my ward. I'll get on my ward guy.
We'll figure yourself out. Have you seen the website, by the way?
Tucson Delivers?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Okay. It's so interactive. To me, it's great because you can look at the map and say, oh, this is my neighborhood. There's a red dot. You know, click on that, boom, it'll pop up.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
I was going to say this to Mr. Ortega, but I held back. We're not like a softball team that won or we landed on Mars, but the council can just acknowledge the committee's accomplishments at a meeting for 5 seconds and say, we're grateful this amount of money was spent and it did this amount of work on these fire substations, and we acknowledge that this is a citizens approved initiative.
Absolutely.
And we're grateful for it. But you know, I'm not saying I don't want to go to another meeting at the council, but I'm saying I think they should put it on their agenda to talk about it.
I agree completely. Because if we decide this is our last meeting, I will definitely make it for the next calendar.
Because if Andy had gone off the money to Vegas and it was misspent, it would be in the papers. It would be done so well that it's boring. And Andy and I
read
our best.
Yeah, feel free to peruse it.
A couple op-ed pieces, a couple letters to the editor, and people forget it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought it up in the first place, Stuart, because it's a constant reminder that, as Andy said, many, many times we have done stuff, but obviously we haven't done enough because you're not aware of any. So we need to re-energize that direction and get some of this word back out there so that they can see what we're doing. And we're idiots as a city if we don't capitalize on this when we complete it. We need to have a humongous party and let the whole community know, here's where your tax dollars went, and show them all those great pictures of all the equipment, all the facilities that were built, all the facilities that were renovated, and with the people, the firefighters and the police officers that took advantage of it. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to convince city manager's office to do some big things and to, not toot our own horn, but let the citizens know this is where your dollars went. This is where we spent that money. We told you it was going to go to do this. We did exactly that. And thank you.
We leave
a good taste in their mouth, so if they have to go back out and ask for more, then hopefully they'll be...
We do need to toot our horn because we asked for money, we spent it the right way, and not everybody does that.
Exactly.
I'm from Los Angeles, so I have some experience with that.
I was a private contractor for 30 years before I came here, but I am thrilled working for the city because they do. They do everything right. And it's all above board, it's all public, and there's a lot of places that don't. I mean, like Margarita said, you read the paper every single day about some mismanagement. And you just don't see that here in the city because we're doing the right thing. So I'm proud to be part of it.
You have to trap them with the headline, right? So you have to almost go, oh my God, where did the $150 million go? And then you list all the projects underneath it. So that way they have an understanding that this is where your money went. Otherwise, they're not going to read it.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
And make sure the projects show every area, because if it's if it's not in my neighborhood, I don't really care.
Yeah.
That's typically, I mean.
Trust me, I get a lot of that from various council offices. It's like, wait, you're not doing anything in my ward right now.
Right.
Get out of here. They want nothing to do with me. So, but if I'm building three or four projects in their ward, I'm hot on their priority list. So, you are correct. So that's it for the facilities. Does anybody have any questions? Again, this is just high level stuff, just to tell you where each of the projects are, that what the status of it is.
How much do we have left to spend? Or?
I am fixing to get to that. If you hold on for just a moment. So the last part of this is vehicles and equipment. We made a conscious decision a while back when we were looking at how the rest of the project was going to unfold and how much money we have, how much money it's going to take to build these facilities. We got nervous and said, okay, here's almost $5 million worth of vehicles and equipment for police and fire that we can hang on to right now as emergency money, or you know, if we needed to finish building a facility, because we had enough of the vehicles and equipment and whatnot purchased that if we had to say, okay, we can't buy any more, but we can still build all the rest of the facilities, that was more important to us, is that we gave everybody the facilities that they had asked for. So that right now that is on hold. We're not purchasing any more equipment or vehicles at this moment until we get a better handle on what all the projects are going to take. And I am going to get to that shortly, but I think next slide. There we are. And I've made this so that both Chief Warren and Chief Sill can talk if they would like to, and I'll ask you guys if you want to describe what where you think we're at. But again, because we put this in suspension mode, I didn't want to spend a great deal of time talking about it. But you can see that for police, we've still got $2.5 million worth of vehicles and equipment to spend. It's currently in our overall master budget, so I believe we're going to make this happen. But again, right now it's just kind of in a suspended mode. And then for fire, they've got $2.1 million left to spend, and that also is in our budget. So based on my recollection of reading minutes, I think you guys pretty much made the commission up to date on all the things we bought. But is there anything either one of you particularly want to talk about, or any of the... I mean, I know right now you'd like to throw some at me and say, just let me buy the rest of my stuff because I need it now. But other than that, do you have anything you'd like to share with the commission?
I can quickly run through the trucks if you'd like to hear it, just high level. I'll run through it real quick. We were slated for 19 new fire engines. We've got 15 delivered, running on the streets of Tucson. Four left. They're on order, expecting them this summer. 10 ambulances, paramedic ambulances that were ordered. Those are on the streets serving the Tucson. A total of 7 ladder trucks have been fully delivered. 4 of them are straight sticks, 1 bucket that you see here downtown Tucson, and 1 Quint. It's kind of a hybrid fire engine / ladder truck, so it actually has a pump on it. That's been delivered. A total of 3 brush tenders have been delivered and are running the streets of Tucson. 1 air power light / rehab truck. For those that recall, early on we had slated for 4 rehab trucks around the city. We combined that into 1 massive truck. We just put this out on social media. This is a large air power light truck. It's an all-in-one. It's down at Station 22. That was delivered early January of this year. 1 TRT truck was delivered this year. So what we're missing is 1 water tender truck and 1 brush tender truck. And that's what we're hoping to use at the end of this, if everything lines up. So that's a quick down and dirty. Yeah.
So the 2 items that you're still missing, that is the $2.1 million?
Yes, sir.
Those 2 things are $2.1
Well, million. I take that back. So those are the 2 trucks I'm missing. Those 4 engines that I said will get delivered later this year, I still have to outfit them. So I'm going to use those funds. I still have to put extrication equipment, fire hose, everything that goes onto the truck.
So we have the $2.1 million allocated.
That's in our budget, and it is set aside for that purpose, for both police and for fire. What remains to be purchased from the ballot language. So, provided that we haven't waited so long and we're delayed, that the prices have gone up, we can't buy everything that you guys want to buy. That's the only potential downfall right now. So,
the thing that I'd like to share is actually, I really want to make it clear to everyone that, and it's not so much about the money that remains, but the reality of the vehicle market right now is such, at least for police vehicles, I think fire has the same issues. We still have 77 vehicles that have where the money's been encumbered, so it's not reflected in that and what you see there, that we have not yet received. The supply chain issues that you've all heard about when you watch the news, that very much have affected the police vehicle market. There was a lot of cities that used ARPA funding to buy vehicles, so that also tightened the market even further. So we there's still 77 vehicles that the money, as I mentioned, has been encumbered. That are in various stages, and we have not yet received them. There's about 16 that we have, and that are in what we call the upfitting. They're taking the vehicle and they're putting certain types of equipment on it so that it becomes usable. And then we have another 61 that we're told are going to be built sometime in the near future. And just to complicate things even further, we had been buying hybrids. That's part of our city climate action plan. It's always been a priority in recent years. We have run into a problem now where Ford is telling us that in model years 25 and 26, they simply cannot build hybrid vehicles. So we've worked with city partners to transition that purchase into 61 conventional fuel vehicles. So that will ultimately, what we do with this other 2 million, depending on what happens with the construction costs, it may change based off what's even available in the market, and we'll have to come back to you when we reach that point.
So the total is 70 million that was received in the tax?
Roughly 75 million was for vehicles and equipment for police and fire.
No, the total of the total expenditures combined was 70 million.
This is just equipment right now. We're not talking.
Okay. But my question, I was depressed to hear once that the officer was killed in an accident. It was a 2007 model.
It was.
And so you're saying the money that's reflected there does not reflect the money you've set aside already for the cars? You already have encumbered money?
Yes, for the 77 vehicles I just mentioned.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. That's. I just wanted to sort of give you the landscape here. We still have more vehicles that are coming from the work that you have done. But for reasons that are out of our control, nobody right now can get MARC units, so that it's tough.
But off the top of your head, what percentages are 10-year-old vehicles with TPD?
I couldn't tell you 10 years, but the question that I'm often asked now is about the Crown Victorias, which is our oldest model. And we have right around 100 of those that are still in use. So as you can see, that these 77 vehicles will go a long way to take our oldest vehicles out of circulation, or at least out of use in the patrol context.
And just show you how difficult they had things through COVID and everything else. We had situations where they had actual purchase orders, contracts issued, signed by the dealers, and then they came and said, sorry, it's costing us more, you're gonna have to pay another $30,000. And it's like, how can you do that? But during COVID, it was like anything goes, and everybody seems to be riding that high wave now too. Even though some of the costs may come down, corporations are making record profits right now instead of bringing the prices back down. So we're fighting at every level all these types of issues. Yes, sir.
You mentioned that Ford is not making hybrids in 25, 26 model year?
Just for the police cruiser. The Interceptor.
Is there any thought of going to somebody else other than Ford?
Fortunately, the situation is just as bleak with all of the other builders as well. So yeah, we work with procurement to try to find alternate options whenever we can, and this is just the state of affairs. And I think it's similar for fire.
Yeah, we're 2 years out on a chassis for an ambulance.
And all these apparatus that he's mentioning that we've been receiving here the last 6 months, that was paid for years ago. So we were lucky they at least honored the price on those. So anything else regarding vehicles or equipment? Hearing nothing. Now we're on to the fun part. This is the money. So as of the date that I put this together, we had collected $188,274,708,000. So it's a lot of money. We were basically $38 million higher than what we projected in initial revenue projections. Now, we've also taken that money and used it wisely. We've obviously collected interest and different gains on that. So totally in my bank right now, I've got $193 million, a little over. The down part is it's going to take me $189 million to buy everything that I need to buy. So, I mean, if this were my checkbook, I'd say that's great because I've got, how much, $3.9 million left over after I buy everything that we said we're going to buy. Provided nothing changed through our projections, we're going to have $3.9 extra. Now, that's also assuming that Mr. Ortega is going to let me have some, about $1.5 million of the $5 million in interest that we got. So, but that's my projection right now to finish buying out all the facilities that are going to be built, all the facilities that are being renovated, all the vehicles, and all the equipment. Everything that was on the ballot language is this number right here, 189. Some of it is projection still. I don't have hard numbers yet for, the firearms training facility. I will have that next week for sure because the bids are going in. Fire station 3, we don't know yet, but I've got a good idea based on recent market what that's going to cost. And what else? That's it. Everything else I've either got under contract or negotiated. So provided that nobody raises their prices on me, which it happens. And the prime contractors that I have negotiated contracts with or negotiated amounts are at the mercy of the market too. So if their electrician calls up and says your gear is going to cost another 6%, I have no choice but to either pay it or try and find another contractor. So this is not set in stone, but this is my best guess. And based on everything we've lived through with COVID, I feel pretty good about what these numbers say right here. I think we'll be under that. And like I said, we just got the pricing in on the firing range. I was a little over $1 million less than what my budget was for that. So that's another, and that doesn't reflect in here. So that's another $1 million I'll be able to add to the bank account side here. So the situation I'm faced with right now is in the ballot language. The mayor and council also signed a resolution that went along with that. They said if we basically deviate more than 10% from any of the main cost categories, which I've got that slide here. All these various cost categories here, if we stray more than 10% either below or above it, we have to come to the commission and talk to you guys about it. And bottom line is we are at that point right now where for both facilities, for fire and for police, the next contract I award is going to take us way above the 10% threshold. So, because right now what I'm waiting to award is the Southside Public Safety Complex, and it's $43 million. So what I've got to do is come to you guys and say, okay, commission, here's my situation. Here's what we've built already. Here's how much money we've taken in. Here's what I think everything else to complete the ballot language is going to cost. I need to exceed the 10%, so I need your authority to do that. So if you guys can discuss this with us and make sure you understand what I'm talking about here, I need for you to be able to say as a commission, we agree that you need to exceed the 10% threshold and follow this guideline and finish buying out all the projects and all the equipment, all the vehicles that you need for this program. And if you'll come to that conclusion that you all agree on that, we will then present that finding to mayor and council, and they will vote on it or disapproval.
Just so I'm clear, if you exceed the 10%, exceeding the 10% on whatever the areas are that you're going to exceed them, you're still roughly under the expenditure of roughly close to $4 million. Do I understand that correctly?
If I bought everything out right now, I'm going to spend $189 million. I'm going to have $3.9 million still in the bank left over.
Even with exceeding those areas by more than 10%.
Yeah, and okay. bear with me that exceeding it just means that we said we're going to spend $36 million in facilities for fire. I actually have to spend $54 million or whatever the case may be. So that's the
high level. I just want to know the bottom line.
So it's not by project, it's by category.
By bands, they called me, or cost categories is what they were in the Belmont Woods. So yeah,
it is what it is. I mean, the beauty of it, we got nervous when COVID hit because we saw the prices skyrocketing, going crazy, and we thought we were going to lose everything. What we didn't know was going to happen is that people were going to spend like crazy too. Of course, mostly on toilet paper and water, if you remember shopping back in those days. But the revenue was so dramatically higher than what we projected that it stayed somehow in pace with what the additional costs were that we were realizing. So we're very fortunate.
Terry, are there details on slide 6 and 7 that support this decision? I mean, on 6 and 7, are there other items on there that you've? I don't know that we've had a good look at those two slides. Is there anything in there that we need to see
to make the point I was just making to Stuart there. Right now, this is fire department. So we, in the budget that we published with the ballot language, we said we were going to spend a little over 33 million. Right now, we've spent just over 32 million. And again, I need to spend another 20 or 30, or I don't have it broken down that way right at the moment. And again, what I'm hoping to do is, and I can go as far down as providing you a budget for every single project and show you what the original budget was, what I think it's really going to cost now, or what I've negotiated it to cost.
So what you're saying, I can barely see it. So we're going to call it 33.2. We originally went to the budget and said we're going to spend about 33.2 on fire facilities. You're saying we need 55.
Yep.
So the biggest heartburn I had last time, which you can tell other heads, is that with the square footage, we used to get a breakdown, and just as a feedback, we actually had those charts in our hands, so we could see the numbers here.
But Rita, I'm going to tell you those numbers are useless.
I know, Ted, but here's the deal. We were going to vote on the south side fire or combined, and it was going to be like $88 a square foot. And people started saying, I'm not going to support a project that's $88 a square foot.
It's actually almost $1,000, I think,
is what. Okay. So, 800, that's right. So, that's my concern is, you're giving us an overview, but we don't know the numbers in terms of somebody really does, or the council asks, how much is the square footage on these projects? What are you going to tell them?
I'm going to tell them that that's an irrelevant number. It means nothing. I can't, just because I build one building for $454 a square foot, doesn't mean I can build the same building over here for that same price. Everything involves economy of scale, and unless it's an identical building on an identical site with the same utilities and everything, it means nothing.
But you still have to combat the perception that government throws money like water. So you can't say that the square footage or that stuff is irrelevant.
I can argue that with you all day long. And again, I've been estimating projects for 35 years now. I've done it every way you can even dream
of. In the public arena?
Yeah. The what's important to me, if you want to talk dollars, originally the price from our contractor was $56 million of their pricing for the south side. It's now come down to $43. And that's been a combination of the contractor working with us to design things more efficiently, removing some things that weren't absolutely necessity that had to be in it. The contractor has basically eaten on their own a lot of what their normal charges would be, and they've limited their profit margin. So they're working with us as a true partner because they get a lot of work with the city and they'd like to continue to work with us. So we've had those opportunities and we've taken advantage of it. And so we've now brought it down $13 million. Yes, sir.
I think an important add-on to this piece is there's obviously, if you're going to be $4 million under budget overall, even going over 10% on this particular area, there's areas that you over budgeted or you came in under budget. It's important to highlight those particular areas as well to show that we are being good stewards. And again, from my personal perspective, if you need to spend more here, but you're still overall under budget by 10%, whatever the percentage is, and giving everybody what they need, I think we're being great stewards with our projects.
So I want to piggyback on that, because that's what it was in my mind as I listened to that, but make sure I understood this. My perception is that for us to have a motion to approve, you know, this moving forward, is that we've actually done, you know, what we were basically asked to do, and that this is actually a very positive place to be for $3.9 million to be left to tie up whatever loose ends may need to be, you know, finalized. For me, that's a successful outcome, and, you know, I feel that we should, you know, have a motion to move forward. I don't see any reservations.
Isn't that extra money? That's not the result of falling under budget. It's the result of the extra revenues.
Sure.
Ultimately, yes. Yeah. And thank goodness. Otherwise, we wouldn't be building half of these projects if we hadn't received the additional revenue.
Slide 6, it said that we've already spent $32 million and we only budgeted $33 million. But on this slide, you are saying factored in the 43 and we still have 3.9 left.
Yeah, it's spread out through all that. I don't have this broken out into what's fire projects, what's police projects.
I got that. I'm just... So even with the 10% variance you're asking for, we're still going to have another 3.9 left.
Yes. Tomorrow's the end of the project. I finished everything. I built everything, bought every vehicle, bought every piece of equipment. When we say we're done with the program, there'd be $3.9 million left in the bank, if nothing changed.
All right, but Terry, I do have a question, though, because you mentioned that there's, you know, $5 million in interest and gains, but you also said that it's dependent on Mr. Ortega approving that for you.
The reason being, as you can see, the original revenue, I've only got $188 million, and I'm right now saying it's going to cost me $189. So I'm going to have to dip into that $5.3 million a little bit to make up the difference to get to this $189.
We still have $3.9 left.
Well, yeah, and technically, we'll have $3.9 left of original revenue, and we'll have the $5 million. So there, we could possibly end up with $8 million left over in this. And then we'd need to call y'all out of retirement again and say, okay, we've got $8 million left. What do you think we should spend it on?
And that's dependent on everything else and how it finalizes.
Exactly. Same reason why I'm not letting police and fire buy their vehicles and equipment, because I got to make sure I build all these buildings, because we're already committed to them. We've already designed them. They're in permit phase. You know, they're ready to go, and I need to build it. So I'm hanging on to that money to make sure that everything's under contract, that we get far enough down the road that we have a pretty good sense that there's not going to be some gotcha that says, oh, gee, this is going to cost you an extra $3 million.
But this will go beyond the term of Mr. Ortega's
tenure. He'll be long gone. We'll be dealing with Tim then at that point, Mr. Demers.
Have you had the conversation with him already?
Yeah.
And his position?
In regard to which specific question?
This area.
The overspend or the greater 10%, yeah, he's definitely, I mean, to him, it's a simple matter of the projects cost more, but we made more revenue to cover it, so we're golden.
So in summary, one particular bucket goes over the 10% variance, but overall, yes, we're still in the black.
Yes.
And I agree with Andy on that.
Yeah, this, what I'm requesting is for the commission to suggest that it is appropriate that we use the additional revenue to cover the additional costs of the program that was already in place.
Do we have any other questions? I think those were all good, and I appreciate the chance to understand more clearly.
If you need, I've got all kinds of data. I can break it up any way you want. I can give you square foot costs if you want to see them. I can show you individual project budgets for everything. I've got it broken up a million different ways. But the bottom line is it's at a high level that we need the understanding that the project is going to cost this much, you've got enough revenue to cover it. We concur and we recommend the mayor and council that you use that money to build the program that you set out to build.
Do we have a motion to approve this
recommendation? So
moved. I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Sorry. Andrew Townsend.
Approve.
Approved.
John Aiken.
Approved.
Margarita Bernal.
Abstain.
Pilar Martinez.
Stewart.
Approved.
Okay.
The motion passes.
Motion passes.
Will, police department and fire department will be very grateful if we can go ahead and finish building our program. I'm going to make some people very happy after we were able to present this to Mayor and Council, and hope that they have the same, you know, logical common sense approach that y'all do. So I'm hoping they will. We've already broached the subject with most of the council members about this, so it's not going to be a shock to them. They're just waiting on us to get the formal recommendation from this commission. And so we will make that happen and put it in their next calendar. And I will also, in addition to that, we'll ask them to make a public recognition during their meeting about this commission group and what you've done for us. So, it can't put it in the bank, but you know, it's always nice to be recognized and formally thanked for what you've done. Because you know, a lot of people, like Stewart saying, they don't even know this thing is existing. So they have no idea that you guys have given up your time to come help make sure we're spending this money properly. So.
See, the point is not the recognition of the commission, but the fact that this money was spent right. And the public needs to know that when they see Tucson Delivers, what it means.
I'll talk to some different people about it. My thoughts are that there should be a wrap-up presentation of some sort to provide to the whole public that says, you know, big and a really high level of, here's how much money you gave to us through this tax increase that you approved. Here's the beautiful projects and beautiful equipment and things that you bought, and make it a really big celebration. They can see that the commission oversaw every dollar spent, and that we actually gave them the things that the ballot language said we were going to give them.
Terry, we kind of committed to make this an hour, so Mr. Chair, do you want to move on?
Yeah, the other items.
Sorry.
A suggestion for that is that that we televise that. Every air station has a requirement in order to get their public license to allocate a certain amount of free time to public use. And I think AZPM would probably be very willing to publicize that kind of a meeting and that kind of information.
Great.
You're talking to the PIO over there.
Yeah. Well, we thank you in advance for making those efforts. And now I do believe this could be the final meeting. If in the future there's the need for more, then we'll certainly be on the lookout for our email. Do we have any members of the audience that would have anything to share here tonight? Okay, I'd like to thank all of you. It's been an honor to be a part of this group and appreciate all of your service. And we'll adjourn the meeting here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And do look for the emails from Tucson
you
Delivers.
Remember.
Right.
You
remember. Of course. We became a friend.
Feel free to call.
I've never been here for my new law.
I know,
but
what do you service.
That's incredible, and you know what?
It's dramatically different.
Available to the public via link.
Yeah, we've got a digital, but you know, let me get the new one out.
No, I agree. I'm not.
So maybe I can even link it on the website or something.
Yeah.
Because
there are a lot of people.
Didn't know your face.
I know we're on social media stuff. I'm not a social media guy.
Yeah.
I don't trust it at all. I've been hacked many times.
Ours is not ready yet.
Ours isn't ready either. This is last year.
Yeah, it's such a fair point.
You guys do so much to keep us safe, and
they only do
it. You take a lot of heat out of it. I hear it.
That's changed.
Police in particular. But we just need to do a better job.
Right. Thank you very much.
Hey, we'll see you. Well, I'm telling you, this right here is huge. This next year is going to be. awesome. And we do got to tell the story. We're going to have three fire stations, brand new going vertical. That's unprecedented for a city.
There's a TV show where a guy goes, that's Arizona. This is Arizona.
Yeah.
And he loves to do public good stories.
Yeah. Well, we got some coming. Joan here's a PR firm, so we'll get with them. Yeah. Start telling this story.
I mean, the extra training you guys are doing, where it's going, maybe people won't care about buildings or whatever.
It's easy to get in our silos when I was hearing Mike here talk. I was like, I had no idea some of the long, when he was talking about the long buildings.
But yeah.
You know, fair point.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
So I get to see you, joining.
I get to see you once and only, huh?
Maybe two or 3 years from now. We'll see.
We'll see.
That's probably about how long that's.
All right. I'll okay. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
SRPI will do it.
That's why.
Yeah, absolutely. I should have never said that, huh?
They have not submitted their project plans yet. So RTA goes every 20 years, and that's the transit authority. It includes all the roads between the different counties as well as the bike paths. And they have yet to.
Oh, you're such a good guy.
We don't know if they're going to do more bike paths or less bike paths, or they're going to connect them. So an RTA guy come and talk to us, and he was about as ambiguous as everybody else.
Yeah, this is true. I'm sorry there was only one.